welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
So this week, we're going to tackle one of a couple of studies that have come out recently that focus on the use of aspirin. This particular study looking at aspirin in those with diabetes. Clearly, type 2 diabetes continues to increase steadily. Part of that is because people are living longer, and part of it is perhaps because they're getting a wee bit heavier compared to past generations. Older adults, I hate to say this, but it's over 65. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there with diabetes, are at risk for developing a similar spectrum of microvascular complications compared to their younger counterparts. But when they develop diabetes later in life, the disease has more time to progress. So on the other hand, their risk of macrovascular complications is substantially higher than for younger people with diabetes. In addition, older people are at higher risk for polypharmacy, older risk for functional disabilities, and common geriatric symptoms that include cognitive impairment, depression, urinary incontinence, falls, and persistent pain. The value of a daily aspirin therapy in patients with known macrovascular disease, that would be secondary prevention, is generally well accepted. A meta-analysis going back 20 or 30 years of a large number of secondary prevention trials found a large absolute benefit of aspirin in those over 65 with diabetes or diabetic hypertension. However, the role of aspirin for the primary prevention of cardiovascular events in patients with diabetes is less certain, and that brings us to your poem. This was published at the end of 2018 in the New England Journal of Medicine. It has gone by the name ASCEND. It tries to answer the question, what are the benefits and harms of low-dose aspirin in patients with diabetes? Mark.
Yeah, this is one of a series of really important studies, the ASPRE series of trials, the ASCEND series of trials. There have been others recently. And I'd say that, you know, I don't think the older trials were wrong, but I think our understanding is evolving, and also the background of patients who are more likely, as you said, to be obese, that could actually have a dose-related effect, who are more likely to have their other cardiovascular risk factors well managed. So I think it's probably a background question as well. So what they did in this study was they recruited adults 40 and older with diabetes and no known cardiovascular disease, so primary prevention in diabetics. They randomized over 15,000 participants to aspirin 100 milligram once a day or placebo. The average age was 63, so it was kind of more of a middle-aged rather than an older group. Not quite two-thirds were men, and 96% were white. Almost all had type 2 diabetes. About 40% of the participants were at low risk of vascular events. They classified them as less than a 5% risk at 5 years. About 40% had a 5 to 10% risk, and the rest were at high risk. So it's a mostly low to moderate risk group. The primary safety outcome was a combination of intracranial hemorrhage, intraocular hemorrhage that threatens sight, GI bleed, or any other serious bleed. So they followed these folks for an average of 7.4 years, and they found there was no difference between groups in the original efficacy outcome, which was vascular death, non-fatal MI, and non-fatal ischemic stroke, 7% with aspirin, 7.6% placebo. Now, they couldn't leave well enough alone, so they added TIA, transient ischemic attack, to the composite. They did it post hoc after the study was in because they didn't find a difference. Now they found when they added TIA, the difference did become statistically significant, 8.5 versus 9.6%. So the NNT is about 90 over 7 years to prevent one of these events, primarily TIAs, it looks like. If they added revascularization to the original outcome, they also saw a similar effect. For a composite harm outcome, there was a significantly higher risk of major bleeding, mainly GI, with about a 1% increase, so number needed to harm of 111 over 7 years. no difference in fatal bleeding events, hemorrhagic strokes, cancer, including GI cancers. So this was, you know, when we looked at the data and kind of dug into it, I'd say the bottom line is for the 7,700 patients who took low-dose aspirin for 7 years, they had about 50 fewer vascular deaths, non-fatal MIs, or strokes, 29 fewer TIAs, and 44 fewer revascularizations than those who took placebo. On the other hand, they had about 70 more major bleeding episodes, no difference in cancer or all-cause mortality. So some benefits, less dramatic than we had seen in some other older studies.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it gets back to values and preferences. But it seems to me, listening to you and reading the article, that the benefits in my book still outweigh. It's not a home run, but it's still leaning toward benefit over risk.
Again, I think it's going to matter in these studies whether it's a diabetic population, what their overall level of risk is, things like that. So for every 100 people who take aspirin for 7 years, you're going to prevent one of these events. Again, mostly TIAs, vascular deaths, and revascularizations. But, you know, certainly vascular deaths is an important clinical outcome.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but my memory is that there have been studies that have postulated that taking a daily aspirin actually can reduce the risk of colorectal cancer. You sort of glossed over that, but I heard you say that there was no difference in this study.
Yeah, they were some studies. I think Rothwell and colleagues pooled the data from a lot of the previous aspirin trials. And when they did that, these trials weren't designed to look for cancer mortality as an outcome. But when it was reported, they found a decreased risk, particularly of solid tumors and particularly GI cancers. So that was one of the secondary things they were looking at in this trial. And again, they didn't find any difference in this population in this trial.
Thanks, Mark. Very interesting. We'll talk in a week.
Looking forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.